from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo says global economy is still unpredictable. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim visiting West Nusa Tenggara. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane.
President Joko Widodo pointed to uncertainty in the current global economic conditions, thereby making it difficult to predict and compute. He remarked at Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Thursday that all regions in Indonesia also sensed the uncertainty in the global economy that is really difficult to compute. The president, who was accompanied by Minister of State Secretary Pratikno, stated that the government should deliver information related to economic growth. In terms of economic growth, he added that people have to highlight the fact that the current global economy situation is still in a precarious position. However, President Joko Widodo believes Indonesia should be grateful as economic growth is still reaching some 5%. He also remarked that Indonesians should be grateful that Indonesia's economy can still grow 5%. Other countries and also developed nations have experienced a drastic fall in economic growth. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and World Bank President Jim Yong Kim left Jakarta for West Nusa Tenggara on Thursday to inspect healthcare facility in the region. Both of them are scheduled to visit the village of Dakung in sub-district of Praia Tengah, Central Lombok, to see healthcare facility and meet the villagers to discuss ways of coping with stunted growth of children. The group comprises a number of cabinet ministers such as Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Health Minister Nila Muluk, Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono, and Minister for Rural Affairs, Backwards Villages and Transmigration Eko Putri Sanjoyo, and World Bank's Chief Representative for Indonesia, Rodrigo Chavez. All of them will also inspect other healthcare facilities in that area. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, in cooperation with related ministries and partners, organized a Small Island Development Initiative Program, CD, including for Natuna, to explore Indonesia's potential as a global geopark. The program, which began in 2016, has become a reference for the cooperation of the Association of States in the Indian Ocean Cycle and South China Sea Workshop. The press conference of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Multilateral Policy and Development Center noted in a press statement received by Antara News Agency on Thursday. This year's CD, Natuna, bears the theme Natural and Cultural World in Natuna as Maritime Diplomacy Asset, with two focus agenda activities, exploring Natuna's potential as a global geopark. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has engaged a team of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, supported by experts from the University of Pajajaran of Bandung, West Java Province, to conduct a preliminary assessment of Natuna's potential as a geopark of the nation and to make Natuna part of the global geopark network of UNESCO in the future. Ambassador of the Republic of Argentina to Indonesia, Ricardo Luis Bacalandro, in Jakarta on Thursday, expressed appreciation towards the launch of broadcast program exchange on Radio Republic Indonesia, RRI. Ambassador Ricardo Luis said that the radio broadcast program has become one of the means
in encouraging public diplomacy as well as connecting people around the world. According to him, radio is one of the media that is relied upon by the people of Argentina in obtaining information. Therefore, he supports the launch of RRE Broadcast Exchange Program to improve public diplomacy in the community.
This is a tool. I have just taken knowledge of this tool to send broadcast programs into my country, into other nations. And of course, radio was very important in the past. But today, at least in my country, radio is perhaps the strongest means of communications. Radio programs are, in Argentina, widespread. Everybody listens to the radio. You go in your car, you are watching, you are working, and you listen to the comments of the people. So having the possibility to share radio contents like this, through this program, could be an excellent idea.
Ambassador Ricardo Luis further expressed his interest to take advantage of cooperation opportunities between RRE and Argentina through broadcast exchange programs. Broadcast program exchange on RRE is a web-based system that allows RRE to share broadcast content in the form of information exchange. Head of Cooperation Section Directorate of Program and Production at RRE, Wendy Giulianti, said that the exchange of information will facilitate RRE to establish cooperation with radios around the world. Up to now, four countries have signed cooperation with RRE in sharing information, namely Russia, Thailand, Brunei Darussalam, and Malaysia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim is optimistic that the IMF World Bank annual meeting will take place smoothly after seeing the preparations for the grand event in Bali on Thursday. In a press release in Jakarta on Thursday, President Kim reviewed the construction of a statue of Garuda Wisnu Kencana, JWK, which is planned to be completed in August. He knows this project has been built very long, and the government is determined to solve it. He is convinced that inviting the country leaders to dinner here would be a special one. President Kim said that to be the host country of the annual meeting is not an easy thing because this event is going to be attended by thousands of participants. He also pointed out that carrying out the annual meeting is very complicated, but he believes in the ability and determination of the committee under the leadership of Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan. President Kim also believes that the Indonesian government can overcome the problems and obstacles in Bali, especially related to Mount Agung, which has recently showed increased activity. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan says that the United States views Indonesia as an important country so that the two countries' strategic partnership relations must be maintained. In a written statement in Jakarta Thursday, Minister Luhut affirmed that the United States is Indonesia's strategic partner in economic cooperation, education, counterterrorism, and maritime cooperation. He attended the invitation as the guest of honor during the 242nd Independence Day celebration of the United States at the residence of U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Yosef R. Donovan, in Jakarta on Wednesday night. Minister Luhut views that the vision between the United States and Indonesia is not much different in terms of increased cooperation, especially in the maritime field, of which bilateral cooperation on the war against illegal fishing, environmental issues, and both countries also equally respect the existing international laws. Director of Wahid Foundation Yeni Wahid disclosed the values of Indonesian democracy as a speaker at the International Symposium entitled Shared Values and Democracy in Asia, held by Japan Foundation Asia Center JFAC in Tokyo, Japan on Thursday. The forum attended by Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is the fourth time since 2015 that brings together intellectuals and researchers from various countries in Asia. Yeni Wahid, in her statement in Jakarta on Thursday, said that she was invited to contribute thoughts related to topics around the values of similarity and democracy that are very relevant and critical in today's world. She also remarked that the topic on the values of equality and democracy is in line with the activities of her foundation she leads in Indonesia. In this forum, Yeni Wahid introduced Wahid Foundation as a foundation that has been actively promoting peace and diversity in Indonesia as the world's largest Muslim country and third largest democracy. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitled European Union and the Fate of Migrants. The fate of migrants who have been crossing the Mediterranean to seek a better life in Europe has become uncertain. This is because the European Union, which was so far accommodative towards migrants who mostly came from Africa, has changed. At the European Summit in Brussels on June 24th, several Eastern European countries such as Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Poland refused to open the door for the migrants. The meeting was held in response to the Italian stance that began to close the entrance for the arrival of new migrants. In the meeting, French President Emmanuel Macron stated that there are member states that benefit from European Union cooperation, but are more concerned with self-interest. Although not explicitly mentioning the name of the country, it is obvious that the target of the statement is to reject the European Union migrant policy. Italy, that has begun to refuse the presence of migrants, reacted to Macron's assertion because Macron, they said, does not know the real situation in Italy. One country that still opens the door for migrants is Spain. It is willing to accept about 600 migrants previously rejected by Italy. While Germany, although Chancellor Angela Merkel's policy is quite open to the presence of migrants, now she is facing an internal problems, which is quite complicated with the refusal of a senior member of the cabinet. The impact of a migrant presence is not only felt in European Union member states. Countries that become a buffer zone in the North African region, from Algeria to Egypt, feel the immediate impact of their arrival. Egypt, which houses about 300,000 migrants, for example, began to object to financing their survival. The Egyptian government's calls on the European Union to financially support the temporary shelters cost of the migrants. Indonesia is not directly affected by the impact of migrant presence, but this problem is not resolved. May increase the number of migrants looking for the better life in Australia. Not infrequently, they went through the Indonesian archipelago. Indonesia should take initiative to encourage resolving migrant issues through international forums. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event on July 6, 1975, when Comoros gained its independence. The Comoro Islands, or Comoros, form an archipelago of volcanic islands, are situated off the southeast coast of Africa to the east of Mozambique and northwest of Madagascar. They are divided between the sovereign state of the Comoros and the French Overseas Department of Mayotte. The islet of Bangdu Geyser and the Glorioso Islands are sometimes included as part of the archipelago. In 1974, France organized a referendum for self-determination in the archipelago, in which the population except in Mayotte voted overwhelmingly in favor of independence. Following the unilateral declaration of independence in 1974, France maintained sovereignty over Mayotte. The three remaining islands form the Etah Comorian, which later became the Federal Islamic Republic of the Comoro Islands. The next event was in 1998 when Chebelab Kok Airport has been commercially operational. Hong Kong International Airport is the main airport in Hong Kong. The airport is also colloquially known as Chebelab Kok Airport to distinguish it from its predecessor, the Klose Kai Tak Airport. The airport has been commercially operational since 1998, replacing the former Kai Tak Airport, and is an important regional transshipment center, passenger hub, and gateway for destinations in mainland China, with 45 destinations and the rest of Asia. The airport is the world's busiest cargo gateway and one of the world's busiest passenger airports. The Hong Kong International Airport is also home to one of the world's largest passenger terminal buildings, or the largest when opened in 1998. Hong Kong International Airport is one of the busiest airports in Asia. The airport is an important contributor to Hong Kong's economy, with approximately 65,000 employees. More than 100 airlines operate flights from the airport to over 180 cities across the globe. In 2014, Hong Kong International Airport handled 63.3 million passengers, making it the 10th busiest airport worldwide by passenger traffic. It also surpassed Memphis International Airport to become the world's busiest airport by cargo traffic. And the last event was in 2007, when International Olympic Committee IOC members of the 119th IOC session in Guatemala City approved the creation of a youth version of the Olympic Games. The Youth Olympic Games is an international multi-sport event organized by the International Olympic Committee. The Games are held every 4 years in staggered summer and winter events consistent with the current Olympic Games format. The first summer version was held in Singapore from 14 to 26 August 2010, while the first winter version was held in Innsbruck, Austria, from 13 to 22 January 2012. The age limitation of the athletes is 14 to 18. The idea of such an event was introduced by Johann Rosensoff from Austria in 1998. On July 6, 2007, International Olympic Committee IOC members of the 119th IOC session in Guatemala City approved the creation of a youth version of the Olympic Games, with the intention of sharing the cost of hosting the event between the IOC and the host city, whereas the traveling costs of athletes and coaches were to be paid by the IOC. These games also feature cultural exchange programs and opportunities for participants to meet Olympic athletes. That was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about Indonesia-Netherlands increased economic cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi received the visit of the Dutch Foreign Minister Stefanus Abraham Blok at Gedung Pancasila Ministry of Foreign Affairs Jakarta on Tuesday, July 3. At the meeting, the two foreign ministers agreed to increase cooperation between the two countries in various fields. In a joint press statement, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said Indonesia and the Netherlands had agreed on cooperation in the field of timber trade through the European Union's Forest Law Enforcement, Governance and Trade, FLEGT, and security mechanisms, including the trafficking of drugs, terrorism, and cybersecurity. In the bilateral meeting, the two foreign ministers also discussed efforts to improve the partnership and economic cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands. One of them is through negotiations on a comprehensive economic partnership between Indonesia and the European Union. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi explained that Indonesia and the European Union are currently negotiating a comprehensive economic partnership that is expected to be resolved immediately. Retno Marsudi said that in 2018, Indonesia and the Netherlands, entering the fifth year of the Joint Declaration on Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA. It is expected to be a momentum to enhance economic cooperation between the two countries. Minister Retno Marsudi asserted, the Netherlands is the second largest trading partner in Europe for Indonesia. She said the value of Indonesia-Netherlands bilateral trade in 2017 reached $5 billion. According to Retno Marsudi, many of Indonesia's export commodities enter Europe through the Dutch port. One of Indonesia's largest export commodities to the Netherlands is palm oil. In addition, the Netherlands is the seventh largest investor in Indonesia, with an investment value of $1.46 billion in 871 projects in 2017. The minister also said, related to tourism, tourists from the Netherlands who visited Indonesia increased 5.31% in 2017 to reach 250,844 people. Meanwhile, Dutch Foreign Minister Stefanus Abraham Blok also expressed the Dutch government's desire to increase bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and the Netherlands. According to Stef Blok, Indonesia, as the 16th largest economy in the world, is one of the main economic partners for the Netherlands. He stressed that both countries are now working to improve economic cooperation. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. President Joko Widodo pointed to uncertainty in the current global economy conditions, thereby making it difficult to predict and compute. He remarked at Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java on Thursday that all regions in Indonesia also sense the uncertainty in the global economy that is really difficult to compute. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and World Bank President Jim Yong Kim left Jakarta for West Nusa Tenggara on Thursday to inspect healthcare facility in the region. Both of them are scheduled to visit the village of Dakung in sub-district of Praia Tengah, Central Lombok, to see healthcare facility and meet the villagers to discuss ways of coping with stunted growth of children. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, in cooperation with related ministries and partners, organized a Small Island Development Initiative Program, CID, including for Natuna, to explore Indonesia's potential as a global geopark. Ambassador of the Republic of Argentina to Indonesia, Ricardo Luis Bacalandro, in Jakarta on Thursday, expressed appreciation towards the launch of Broadcast Program Exchange on Radio Republik Indonesia, RRI. Ambassador Ricardo Luis said that the Radio Broadcast Program has become one of the means in encouraging public diplomacy as well as connecting people around the world. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim is optimistic that the IMF World Bank annual meeting will take place smoothly after seeing the preparations for the grand event in Bali on Thursday. In a press release in Jakarta on Thursday, President Kim reviewed the construction of a statue of Garuda Wisnu Kencana, which is planned to be completed in August. He knows this project has been built very long and the government is determined to solve it. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan says that the United States views Indonesia as an important country so that the two countries' strategic partnership relations must be maintained. In a written statement in Jakarta on Thursday, Minister Luhut affirmed that the United States is Indonesia's strategic partner in economic cooperation, education, counterterrorism, and maritime cooperation. Director of Wahid Foundation, Yeni Wahid, disclosed the values of Indonesian democracy as a speaker at the international symposium entitled Shared Values and Democracy in Asia held by Japan Foundation Asia Center, JFAC, in Tokyo, Japan on Thursday. The forum attended by Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is the fourth time since 2015 that brings together intellectuals and researchers from various countries in Asia. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi, inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun. We deserve to be the one.
to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Lompong Cake from Purworejo, Central Java. Stay tuned. Purworejo is one of the regions east in Central Java province. Purworejo, bordering to Wonosobo, Magelang, Kebumen, and Kulon Progo, is famous for its beauty waterfall. One of the waterfall attractions there, which is most visited by tourists, namely Curug Muncar. The 40-meter-high waterfall has a natural panorama. Behind the beauty of the waterfall object, Purworejo has culinary traditional abundant. One of the culinary that you must taste if you're traveling to the region is Lompong Cake. Seeing from the outside, the typical cake of Purworejo is less interesting. It's shaped rectangular, wrapped by dried banana leaf. The color is jet black, not interesting color like other traditional cakes in Indonesia. The main ingredient is lompong or the root of taro. The root is peeled and then cut into small pieces. The basic ingredients are soaked to remove the sap and boiled until it becomes porridge. Then filtered to take the extract until producing blackish color. Taro extract is then mixed with straw flour, glutinous rice flour, and sugar. The dough is then stirred and given coconut oil to avoid stickiness when steamed. The dough is filled with peanut and brown sugar, then steamed with a pack of dried banana leaves or claras. The lompong cake's dough is steamed for about 2 hours. When eaten, the chewy taste of lompong cake so fills. The taste of peanut is savory and sweet because it is mixed with brown sugar. In Purworejo, lompong cake is sold in traditional markets and special gift center. Lompong cake also often purchased for souvenirs and eaten as breakfast. Lompong cake is sold with 2,000 to 3,500 rupiah per pieces. If you buy lompong cake as souvenir, the cake only lasts for 1 week outside the refrigerator. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lompong Cake from Purworejo, Central Java. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Thanks for listening.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is the Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will discuss Sleman Temple Run 2018. The Senior Tourism Office of Sleman Regency Yogyakarta, in cooperation with Trail Runners Yogyakarta, presents Trail Race event, which will be held on July 29, 2018. The event is entitled Sleman Temple Run 2018. There are two categories in Sleman Temple Run 2018, namely 25K and 13K. In accordance with the trail race category, the road to be followed is hilly and rocky and ground trajectory. This event was held for the first time in 2015. For the Sleman Temple Run 2018 route, is goes around Banyu Nibo Temple, Barong Temple, Sojiwang Temple, Miri Temple, Ijo Temple, Gupala Archa site. The run will start from Banyu Nibo Temple and finish at Banyu Nibo Temple again. Head of Sleman Regency Tourism Office, Sudarningsih, said that the distance of Sleman Temple Run is still the same as last year. Sudarningsih added that Sleman Temple Run 2018 has a difference with last year. In addition to Sleman Temple Run, there will also be a night cooking festival in the courtyard of Banyu Nibo Temple with the tagline, "Feel the sensation of cooking under the star sprinkle." The participation will consist of one team comprising of 5 people. Sudarningsih hopes that in the future, Sleman Temple Run can enter as 100 events of the Ministry of Tourism. She also remarked that after 5 times holding, her site will register the activity at the Ministry of Tourism in the 100 events, which will be launched by the Ministry of Tourism. Meanwhile, Ramdan Krisnawan Hartarto from Trail Runners Yogyakarta community explained about the selection of Banyu Nibo Temple because the place is better. In terms of challenge, the trail run is different from running marathon or the others. Ramdan Krisnawan Hartarto father said that for the 2018 run, the metals are slightly different from last year. Now the metals use wood mix with resin produced by local staff from Jogja. Meanwhile, one of the committee of Sleman Night Cooking Festival, Agung, said that this night cooking competition may be the only one in Indonesia. He also explained that for the general participants, they will be divided into 3 categories, namely general, students and hotels, restaurants, cafes people, horeca. For the preliminary round menu, the participants will cook basic ingredients of kecombrang. For the final round, they will cook traditional Mataram food. Listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic Sleman Temple Run 2018. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again on another occasion with another interesting topics.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present the song of the people of North Sumatra. Stay tuned.
I know.
song is about the Batak people who wander and miss their beloved hometown. Although only because Tanah Batak, or in Indonesian means Tanah Batak, is always attached to the heart. Usually the song is sung as a mass release. The song composed by As This is considered very melodic. Some songs from North Sumatra tells about their natural beauty. One of them is Samosir Island, composed by Nahum Situmorang. Batak musicians are quite famous. The song tells about the island of Samosir, which becomes the home of the Batak community. Being told in the song, wherever he wanders, he will return to his hometown, Samosir Island. Even he will be buried on the island of Samosir. The song also describes how he loved his hometown, Samosir Island. Until now, the Samosir Island song has been sung by many Batak singers with various versions. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Pulau Samosir.
Sampai
Sister, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Sitogol, sung by Victor Hudabarat. Just like the previous song, this song is also composed by Nahum Situmorang. The song Sitogol comes from South Tapanuli Mandailing language, Song Sitogol. The language of the South Tapanuli community tells the story of the call to cheer and sing Sitogol, although perhaps the heart is sad. Well, listener, here is the last song entitled Sitogol from Victor Hutabarat. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.